Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
It is a Tuesday throwback to the 80s, and your artist of the day is one of the biggest artists of 1989. They won a Grammy for Best New Artist, and they never sang a damn song. Milli Vanilli is your artist of the day. Sold 6 million records that year.
I'm not looking to make this a topic, but I just saw this on Twitter.
Well, if we do, we can make it a topic at 4:30.
No, I'm not looking for comment. I'm just going to throw it out there, and I want you to just let it go. Okay?
You know that's
Robert
not
Kraft
happen.
Has put his Super Bowl ring.
Oh, yeah, he did that 2 days ago.
On the auction block for charity.
For the All-In Challenge, yeah.
And this is for the All-In Challenge. Yep. Do you want to guess what someone has bid? And the bidding is not even over.
It was from Super Bowl 51.
It's from the one where they came back from whatever.
Against the Atlanta Falcons, yep.
Bidding started at $75,000.
Okay, generous.
Bidding is now at $330,000.
I actually watched it live. He was on ESPN the other day. And he came on and they were doing, you know, the All-In Challenge, which they do every day. And Robert Kraft came on. So I thought, oh, I'll watch and see if he says anything about the little salon down in Florida. And he said, I'm offering up because it was the greatest comeback of our 6 Super Bowl wins. And I'm anticipating an incredible comeback for America. That's how he framed it. And he said, I'm offering up my Super Bowl 51 ring for the All-In Challenge. It is the most garish, gaudy, way too big for any human being's hand ring.
It's covered in diamonds.
I've ever seen in my life. If I bought it, I would never wear it.
That's what I wanted to ask you. It's not like when Lynn Swan came in with his 5 rings and you got to try them on and that was a cool moment for you, and I get that. But yeah, he earned those 5 rings.
And they were much smaller.
If you are just a bajillionaire and you have whatever kind of money to buy this ring off of Robert Kraft's finger, mm-hmm, what are you going to do with it? You didn't play for the team. You didn't earn it. You're not going to wear it around. What do you do with it?
You put it. You probably have a room in your home that's dedicated to the New England Patriots, not unlike I do to Kiss, and you put it up there. I mean, if Ace Frehley gave me a guitar that he played in concert, I would take it, I would buy it, and I would put it up in the Kiss cave. I've never played for Kiss in a concert, but I now own a major piece of Kiss history, and I would put it upstairs.
This ring covers almost three fingers on a man.
Yeah, it is, like I said, it's gaudy. And he put it on the other day when he was on ESPN, and I was like, ugh, gross. I wouldn't pay.
I wonder, with something that expensive, can the players even wear those out? I'd be worried someone would clock me over the head.
Well, you remember when Lynn Swann came into the building and you didn't know who he was, and he opened up that little mahogany box that he had.
Yeah.
And I've been a Pittsburgh Steelers fan since I was 8 years old. And Lynn Swann was my original sports hero. And when he opened up that box, and there were four Super Bowl rings in there and his Hall of Fame ring, you may recall.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget, he said, Scott, put them on. And I said, no, Mr. Swann, I can't put these rings on. And he said, Scott, I'm not coming back. If you're that big of a fan of the team, put them on. Let's take a picture, and I'm on my way. And I did. And they were, I mean, they didn't even go past my mid-knuckle on any finger because I got fat fingers. But they were small in comparison to this gargantuan thing that Robert Kraft is putting up for auction. I mean, these were rings back in the day that you could actually wear. You know, they were like class rings. Now these Super Bowl rings are so big and gaudy. Who would ever wear those things in public?
Okay, can I ask a dumb question?
Yeah, go ahead.
Is the Kansas City Super Bowl ring made and set and we know what it looks like? Or do we just know that they're getting them and we don't know what it looks like yet?
That's a really good question.
Because in February of 2020, Arrowhead Pride did a story saying which Kansas City Chiefs will receive Super Bowl rings. But I'm not seeing anything that shows they have...
designed or manufactured it?
Designed, manufactured, and deliver those.
Well, in February, probably not. They had just won the Super Bowl. But, you know, now we're in mid-May. I would imagine
the team will award at least 150 rings.
Mm-hmm. Everybody gets them, players and staff.
Yeah, and the NFL assumes the cost.
Mm-hmm. Gee. Thanks, NFL.
The design of the ring is under discussion. There's a couple of news stories out about Travis Kelce offering his input.
Okay.
So it has not been finalized yet.
You want to guess the cost per ring, Scott? I would have guessed it much higher. I will give you that hint.
Nowadays?
Yeah.
Or back in the day? Nowadays?
No, today. Today.
With all those diamonds in there. Somewhere between $15,000 and $20,000 a ring.
That's what I would have guessed. The NFL pays for 150 rings with a maximum cost of around $7,000 per ring.
Huh.
Now, that doesn't mean they can't go higher, but the NFL gives you a stipend and you get $7,000 per ring times 150.
That's still a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot of money. We will do Terrible Joke Tuesday when we get back. All we ask is that your joke is terrible, but that it is airable. You can send it into the text line at 22980. All we ask is that your joke is terrible but airable. Because we are on quarantine, we will gladly accept any Chuck Norris or Yo Mama jokes as well. All are welcome. 22980 when we get back here on Dana and Parks.
My mind set on you. I got my mind set on you. I got my mind set on you. Got my mind set on you. But it's gonna take money.
George Harrison.
A whole lot of spending money.
Second song he's had this afternoon. On a Tuesday throwback to the 80s. It is Terrible Joke Tuesday. Text it into 22980. All we ask is that your joke is terrible, but it is airable. Hey, Dana.
Yeah, Scott.
Now, this is not from me. This is from a texter, but I thought it was funny. Do you work at Quick Trip?
No.
Hmm, that's weird because you sure are a QT.
But, yeah, that would be super weird if that was actually from you.
That was not from me.
Hey, Scott.
Sam, what's going on, buddy?
You ever heard why Snoop Dogg carries an umbrella?
Hmm. Didn't know he did, but I'm assuming he does.
Faux drizzle.
Get out.
Hey, Scott.
Yeah, Dana, what's going on?
Which bear is the most condescending?
I don't know, Dana. What bear is the most condescending?
A panda.
Hey, Dana.
Yes, Sam.
Yo mama's so ugly, people stayed 6 feet away from her before they were told to.
Wow! Oh!
Hey, Sam.
What's that, Scott?
You know, your mama's so ugly and so fat, Chuck Norris can't even kick her ass.
Hey, Sam.
What's that, Dana?
What did the police officer say to his belly button?
I don't know.
You're under a vest.
Get out.
Hey, Scott.
Yeah, Sam, what's going on, buddy?
Did you hear about the Italian chef who died?
No, I didn't. What happened?
Yeah, it was sad. He passed away.
Hey, Dana.
Yes.
Why do bears wear socks?
I don't know. Why do bears wear socks?
Because they have bare feet.
Wow. Hey, Scott.
Mm-hmm.
Why do some couples go to the gym?
Well, I don't know, Dana. Why do some couples go to the gym?
Because they want their relationship to work out.
Sam.
Oh, yeah. What's that, Scott?
Why can't a bicycle stand up by itself?
I don't know.
Because it's too tired. Hey, Dana.
Yes, Scott.
How many apples grow on a tree?
I don't know. How many apples grow on a tree?
All of them?
Hey, Sam.
What's that, Dana?
I know you know this. I used to hate facial hair, but then it grew on me.
Now you pick at it constantly. Hey,
hey
Scott.
Sam.
Oh,
go ahead, Sam. Go ahead, please.
Why don't melons have weddings?
Not really sure, Sam. Why don't melons have weddings?
They can't elope.
Hey, Sam.
What's that, Scott?
You know, your mama is so fat. She fell in love. She broke it.
Hey, Scott.
Get out.
Yes?
Did you know that dogs can't operate MRI machines?
Dogs cannot operate MRI machines?
No, but cats scan.
Hey, Dana.
Yes, Sam.
Why did the superhero flush the toilet?
I don't know. Why did the superhero flush the toilet?
Because it was his duty.
Hey, Dana.
Yes, Scott.
You ever wonder why skeletons don't go trick-or-treating?
No, why do skeletons not go trick-or-treating?
They have nobody to go with.
Mm.
No body to go with?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, got it.
Okay, sorry. Sorry.
Hey, Sam.
What's that, Dana?
What is a crafty dancer's favorite hobby?
I don't know. What is a crafty dancer's favorite hobby?
Cutting a rug.
I should, I owe one to Sam, but, okay. Yeah. And we got to get moving here, but since Dana's the golfer on the show. Hey, Dana, did you ever wonder why the golfer wore two pairs of shorts?
I did not know why the golfer wore two pairs of shorts.
It was just in case he got a hole in one.
Mm. Yeah.
Sam.
Yes, Scott.
You ever wonder what you give to treat a sick bird?
I don't know.
Tweetment.
Get out.
That's not coronavirus. News is next. Dana Wright, Sam Stevie III. I'm Scott Parks on KMBC.
I got my first real six string. Boy, it out the five and done. Played it till my fingers bled. Was the summer of 69. Me and some guys from school had a band and we tried real hard. Jimmy quit, Jody got married.
Hey, Sam.
What's that, Scott?
You know, they used to call it a jump-o-lane. Until your mom got on it. Welcome back to Dana and Parks. Good to be with you. Story here from the New York Post. Shocking video has emerged online of a California college professor railing at his neighbors along with his apparently drunk wife, who spews a torrent of racial slurs in a confrontation that started because of the smell of bacon grease, according to a report. Tim Ford, an associate professor of economics at Sacramento State University, and his wife Crystal are seen in footage that was first posted on Facebook May 1st, berating their neighbors, according to the Sacramento Bee. The educator's wife uses several racial slurs and refers to the woman shooting the video as a B-word that sounds like witch, and then gives the couple the finger. Quoting here from Tim Ford, the professor. I'm a professor at Sac State, dude. I have a PhD. I don't need to be dealing with S like this. At the end of the video, he tosses his drink at his neighbor's window.
Oh.
I wonder if he's tenured.
Bacon? That's what this whole thing started over?
Well, they're probably vegan or something weird.
Because I wanted to throw something at you for bringing scallops into the office. Again, we talked about that earlier in the show.
Mm-hmm. I have every right to bring whatever I want to eat into the office.
I think I would be rewarding the smell of bacon.
Sam, have you ever lived in an apartment?
I currently live in an apartment.
What is the worst thing you've ever smelled or heard through those thin walls?
Oh, gosh. Oh, Lord. In terms of heard, I can't really go into details on the radio for that.
Yeah.
But smell, there was this little kid down the hall who his mom made him take the trash out. And instead of going into the scary dumpster area, he would leave the trash bag of used diapers at the bottom of the steps.
Oh.
And the whole building would smell like those used diapers.
Mm-hmm. When Sean and I first got married in 1996... we lived in an apartment at 5th and Colorado in Lawrence, just west of the yacht club. And we were on the first floor. It was a two-story apartment complex. And we lived on the first floor, and there were like two or it was a three-bedroom apartment. We got it for really cheap. I wonder why. And there were two guys that lived above us who partied all night long. And we would politely remind them that I had to be at work at 5:30 in the morning down in Ottawa. And in return, what we would get would be raw hamburger thrown onto our back patio every night, which was a horrible waste of money for them, probably $4.50 a piece. But they would throw raw hamburger from their balcony onto our back patio. Dana, you know I'm not a yeller. I don't.
Did you get
yell.
Flies? Did you get some flies with that?
Yeah, of course we did. You know, because they would throw it down in the middle of the night, and I wouldn't see it till 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And so, and you know I'm not a yeller, Dana. I would go up there and I would just say, you know, at probably 10:30 at night, 11 o'clock at night, when they're just blaring the worst music in the history of bad music. And I would just say, hey, guys, you know, listen, I have to get up at 4:30. I work at 5:30 down in Ottawa. Is there any way you could turn that down just a little bit? And I would get the go F yourself. And then without doubt, at least three days a week, we would get hamburger patty thrown down onto our back patio.
This couple has an attorney, and they said in a statement today, While we have had ongoing difficulties with one of our neighbors, there is no situation that warrants the use of racially charged words, and we sincerely apologize for the behavior exhibited. Listen to the passive voice there. Not for our behavior. We sincerely apologize, passive voice, for the behavior exhibited during this confrontation. The professor goes on to say his wife recognizes the hurt and anger she has caused.
Not him.
And regrets it. Today she is seeking help and has checked herself into a hospital for alcohol and drug abuse.
What about him?
That's him trying to save his job. We are sorry for the behavior that was exhibited, and my wife needs to get off the sauce, and she's checked herself in.
Right. Should he be fired?
Did he say it or did she say it?
Let me reread the first part of the story. Let me find it here.
I think since he touted his job, he should lose his job.
Yeah, you can't be. Do you know who I am? Then?
Yeah, he's name dropping himself.
He said, "Dude, I'm a Sac State professor." Mm-hmm. The story says it was the wife who spewed a torrent of racial slurs in a confrontation. However, Tim Ford, the professor, says, and I quote, "I am a professor at Sac State, dude. I have a PhD. I don't need to be dealing with S like this." At the end of the video, he tosses his drink at his neighbor's window. I'm wondering if both of them don't need to check themselves in.
Yeah.
Well, isn't that the laziest excuse ever? Like, oh, yeah, sorry, she's an alcoholic.
She's checked herself in.
The old broad's an alcoholic.
We checked her in.
We saw this going viral.
I'm the one that dropped the line, "I'm a professor at Sac State, dude." And I'm the one who threw the drink, bruh. But I'm not the one who needs to check himself in. Okay. Listen, I've had a long history of drinking in my life. I've never thrown a drink at anybody in my life. Ever. Dana, I will ask the question again. Should the professor be fired?
If the wife was the one using the language, I would say no.
He threw the drink.
He's going to get a talking to.
He's the one who goes, "I'm a Sac State professor, bruh."
Yeah, I know. It's not good. Do you know who else is trending today? And it's, I don't want to say he's in trouble today, but Scott, did you hear what Bryan Adams said on Twitter? And I hate to even make this a topic because
Bryan Adams, the guy that we just brought back with the bumper music?
Yes!
Summer of 69, Bryan Adams?
Have you not heard about this?
No.
Ooh. So the internet, I'm going to say, is divided. And he is Corey Hart also from Canada, by the way?
I have no idea.
There's this whole now Corey Hart is in the argument. But anyway, Bryan Adams was supposed to be like doing a show, let's say before coronavirus, right?
Okay.
And he says, let me find it. Oh, here it is. "Thanks to some blanking, bat-eating, wet market animal selling, virus-making greedy bees, the whole world is now on hold. My message to them, other than thanks a blanking lot, is please go vegan." Now, that lit Twitter on fire.
Read it again.
I will read it one more time.
Please do.
He said, "Thanks to some blanking, bat-eating, wet market animal selling, virus-making greedy bees, the whole world is now on hold. My message to them, other than thanks a blanking lot, is go vegan."
Can I say something you're going to find very unpopular?
Well, you don't have to, because Twitter lit up with people on Camp Bryan Adams.
Yeah.
And then people saying that is just flat out racist.
Well, first of all, he doesn't bring up race at all. And that's why I wanted you to read it again. Nowhere in there does he bring up race. And other than the go vegan part at the end, which, you know, I'm not a fan of vegans, I'm trying to find something that he said in there that's wrong. And I can't. Thanks a lot.
University of Alberta Professor Timothy Caulfield, who specializes in health research, blasted Adam's tweet.
By the way, if we're going to make fun of the way I pronounce words, it's Alberta.
Alberta.
You said Alberta. Blasted
Adam's tweet as angry, stigmatizing, hate-baiting, and scientifically wonky. I get that people are frustrated, but this kind of aggressive messaging from an influencer helps no one.
Okay, first of all, simmer down, Professor. Brian Adams is probably well into his 60s. To call him an influencer is a stretch of the word in and of itself. There's nothing in there that is racist at all. Nothing. You're looking for racism.
It's insensitive, you would agree.
It's not sensitive, if that's what you're asking. But I wouldn't say it's insensitive. And he's sharing the frustration that a lot of us have. Hey, let's get rid of these wet markets. Quit selling bats, you morons. Quit eating bats, you weirdos. What are they? Chicken of the cave, according to Anchorman 2?
Okay. So see, that I would say is also insensitive.
Why is that insensitive?
But I will tell you, Scott, I don't want to put a percentage on it on Twitter. There was an enormous number of people coming to his defense saying that's just what everybody thinks, and he's just saying it.
Chalk me up to being one of them. He's saying exactly what people think.
Well, he's apologized.
No, he shouldn't.
I don't know how I feel about that. Because we're also seeing hate crimes against Asian Americans who have nothing to do with this.
But Danny, I think you're taking a leap off a bridge that doesn't exist. He's not advocating for hate crime. He's not advocating for people to take out their frustration and anger against Asian people. But what he's sharing is a frustration that a country, yes, it happens to be China, so what? Didn't bother to help us out. There's no denying that. I mean, I don't care if you're a Republican or Democrat. There's no denying that China screwed this whole pooch.
The president of the Chinese Canadian National Council for Social Justice is quoted as saying, "This is so irresponsible and so racist." People look up to public figures. He is seen as an idol by many. And she suggested comments like that intensify racist hatred against the Chinese.
Well, first of all, there's nothing in that tweet, or I'm assuming it was a tweet. There's nothing in that tweet that is racist. There's just not. If you found something in that tweet that's racist, you're either A, overly sensitive, or B, looking for racism where it doesn't exist.
Well, insensitivity is looked at from the receiver, not the sender.
He says, apologies to any and all that took offense to my posting. No excuse. I just wanted to have a rant about the horrible animal cruelty in these wet markets, which that's not what his rant was about. It was about his lack of being able to perform is what the tweet was about.
Oh, I would agree with you on that.
He said, in these wet markets being the possible source of the virus and to promote veganism. I have love for all people and my thoughts are with everyone dealing with this pandemic around the world.
I believe that too. I don't think Brian Adams is racist against Asian people. I think he's frustrated that he's not able to perform live, not able to make a living, which a lot of people are. But I think if you have a frustration towards China, not people who are Chinese, if your frustration is with the government of China, not people who are of Asian descent, I think that's perfectly natural and perfectly reasonable. And that's the way I read that tweet, was that he was frustrated. And he should be frustrated. I'm frustrated. I haven't been able to hug my mom in over 2 months because some moron bought a bat in Wuhan. And that doesn't make me a Wuhan, whatever the hell it is. I don't care. That doesn't make me a racist. That makes me angry. there's a difference between being racist and being frustrated. And Bryan Adams is not racist. I didn't read that tweet to be racist at all, and that's why I asked you to repeat it so I could check it. He's mad. He's frustrated. We all are mad and frustrated. And because they have lax control in China over the way they sell products in these wet markets, the whole world got shut down. Your kid, Dana, doesn't get to graduate from high school because they have lax control over the way that they sell products in these stupid wet markets. And by the way, who sells a bat?
Well, but see, here's the, and we'll come back to this. This is why I didn't even want to talk about this today, because I knew we would go down this road, and it's not a good road to go down.
Can we think about it over the break?
We can, because it's so much more complicated than that.
576-7798. Is 576-7798. Somebody writes in from 0676. Stop perpetuating the lie. It did not come from a wet market. It came from a bioweapons factory. There is no solid proof that that is correct, by the way. But, you know, there is certainly the conspiracy theory out there that that's where it came from. Okay.
Did they also trace SARS or H1N1 back to those wet markets back in the day, Scott?
Somebody else writes in, Dana, and it's funny you bring that up. I was just reading this text, and we'll have to I'll research this during the top of the hour. From 0212, SARS-CoV-2 originated with a wet market as well. It's equally, if not more likely, that someone contracted this by touring a cave with bats inside and then transmitted it to someone who handled a pangolin. I don't know what a pangolin is.
Yeah.
Got the pangolin infected, virus mutated slightly, person got infected with this, and then visited the wet market where they infected other humans, just as we're seeing here. I'll look up
It is SARS. It was the SARS outbreak of
SARS stands for Southern Asian Respiratory Syndrome.
And both have been associated with animals commonly sold in wet markets. And remember, after 2003, I think it was that outbreak, maybe I think it was 03, the government actually over in China moved to shut the wet markets down. And all that did was shove them underground, Scott. And one of the things I read in, I think, an LA Times article was that this is deeply rooted in their cultural, and it's like a socioeconomic thing that if you have the money to buy the baboon, it means you're prosperous. And so like drunk driving over in America, they have to somehow make it uncool to go to these places, because the government shutting it down after SARS in 2003 just shoved it underground into the black market.
Well, but look at MERS, which was Middle Eastern Respiratory Syndrome. Where did MERS start? Was it in a similar sort of
The one that I remember reading was the wet market was SARS. I don't know about MRSA.
Okay, I'll look at MERS in just a minute. We got the news next. It is coming up on 5 o'clock. Dana Wright, Sam Stevie III. I'm Scott Parks here on KMBZ.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.